From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, episode 161 up in this mix. As always, I'm your host, Justin Spears, my co-host. Joining me, Dominic Bachaco. Dom, what's happening, my man?
Happy holidays to you, Justin. To all our listeners.
Thank you.
Our last podcast before the Christmas holiday vacation coming up here, so we'll be back next week. But wrapping up the holiday season in style with episode 161.
161. Talking all things Arizona Wildcats basketball. We got a lot to get into. We'll talk about Ira Lee and his little situation going on following his arrest for driving under the influence. He's getting a little bit of jail time, and by a little bit, I really mean like a little bit. And of course, we'll talk, you know, more updates going on with the program. One former Wildcat is actually transferring to a school back east. We'll talk more about that. But Dom, I really want to dive into, you know, the current state of Arizona Wildcats basketball. And again, if you're listening to this podcast, you're listening to it via Apple Podcasts or the Wildcaster app that's available on the App Store or Google Play. Or, you know, you're just clicking on it because we post it on Facebook or Twitter. Which, by the way, like us on Facebook. Our Facebook page has a lot. We're always posting stories daily, videos, everything that you see on the Wildcaster Twitter page, you're going to find on the Facebook page.
And more. All of our content.
Everything. But, you know, Arizona, they bounced back after their two-game skid, and they beat Montana handedly, but Montana still gave them some fits. It was not a complete blowout. Montana played competitive. And, you know, the thing about that game was – I look at, you know, some of the dudes that were playing for Montana, like some of the athletes that they had, and I'm like, they should not be on the same court as Arizona. It's nothing against Montana, but Kirby Kramer or whatever the starting center his name is. He was a 6'10".
Kelby
Kramer.
We were close.
He's a 6'10". I feel like I'm scolding him right now, but he's like this 6'10" lurch, where he's this dangly guy that he knows he's tall, but he can't move his body with his size. And Chase Jeter was just taking it to him all day in the post. And Chase Jeter scored a career high in 21 points. But the only thing that I took away from Montana was Kramer is this Rubik's Cube master. Apparently, according to Bill Walton, he can put a blindfold on and solve a Rubik's Cube like over his head or something like that.
See, how do you do that if you can't see the colors? I've seen that's like a fun thing for people who can solve Rubik's Cubes to do, I guess, is to try to solve them with your eyes closed. I just don't know how you do it. I mean, you obviously have to know where the colors you're starting with are, but I feel like two turns in and I'd be lost already.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm lost in a Rubik's Cube two turns in with my eyes open. How is it physically, humanly possible with your eyes closed? But yeah, I mean, Kramer, I mean, that was the name of the game. And you say they kind of took it to Montana. They won by 19. If Baylor.
Well, Chase Jeter took it to Kramer.
Chase Jeter took it
Arizona
to Kramer.
Arizona didn't take it to Montana.
But Chase Jeter took it to Kramer for sure. Arizona won by 19. This was kind of the opposite of the Baylor game, where Baylor, it felt like Arizona should have been down by 20 the entire time. And this game against Montana, Arizona was in control for the a majority of the game, I guess you could say, but it didn't really feel that way. I mean, the end result was 19 points, but it definitely didn't feel like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't play great. They shot 44% from the field. Rebounding margin was better. Granted, against a team like Montana, it doesn't mean nearly as much. I mean, they should be out rebounding by Montana by 10, at least, which is what they did.
Yeah.
You know, but Jeter was the story of the game. He had 21.6 boards. Kramer, his opposition had 2 points, got one shot up in 30 minutes, turned the ball over twice, had three rebounds to Chase Jeter's six. So Chase Jeter got the best of him. And that's what you expect. I mean, you expect Arizona to win that game. You expect them to win against UC Davis on Saturday. That's just where Arizona's at right now. They're going to struggle against better opponents like Baylor, like Auburn, like Gonzaga, like they have so far this year. They're going to beat up on the teams, beat up in air quotes, because they didn't really beat up Montana. But it's going to be that kind of game. And It's not going to be pretty. Arizona is not in the habit of playing pretty basketball right now, but it is what it is. And moving forward, they're probably going to be able to get away with it in the Pac-12 a little bit. I mean, this ugly style of basketball. But, I mean, we've said it on the podcast this year. If they can grind things out, they're going to be competitive in the Pac-12. They just have to, I don't know. I mean, again, it's a lot of it's on Sean Miller to find his rotation, which he is, I'm looking at the minutes here, trying to say he's kind of started to do. I was looking at it before we came on air here, Justin. Seven guys right now, I believe, are, let's see here. There's one, two, three. Seven guys right now are averaging over 15 minutes for Arizona. That's not including an eighth in Ira Lee, who's averaging just under 15. Last year, there were the only five guys to average over 15 minutes a game were the five starters. So Sean Miller is definitely, I mean, that's the thing, is they're so deep this year, I don't really know if he's closer to figuring out his rotation, but he hasn't had to be yet. Mm-hmm. This UC Davis game is kind of a last, as Bruce Pascoe says in his column, I don't want to steal this from him, but it's players' last, it's their last audition before Pac-12 play. Guys like Alex Barcelo, guys like Devonir Dutry, guys even, I mean, Ira Lee has a chance to come out, have a really good game, and put his foot forward to get more minutes in the Pac-12. But I think that's what the UC Davis game is going to represent. I think that's what this whole kind of non-conference experience has been for Arizona in a turnover year, or a down year, whatever you want to call it. I think Sean Miller just has to figure out his rotation, and moving forward, we're going to see that form in Pac-12 play a little bit. Yeah. But I mean, guys like Jeter are going to be there all along. Dylan Smith, Brandon Randolph, who's Arizona's leading scorer. He's been outstanding. Brandon Williams. I mean, the starting five are there. You can even go one more, sixth and Acott or whoever it may be. But
yeah,
I mean, that's the thing moving forward is rotation, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And rotation and what the team really needs right now. Arizona is struggling rebounding the ball. They out rebounded Montana by 10, but you should do that every single time that you play Montana. They got out rebounded by, was it 32 to Baylor? A guy like Ira Lee, he should be able to make that his role. Be able to come in, be a almost like a Dennis Rodman or a Charles Barkley. In some way, Charles Barkley was great at rebounding.
I like the Rodman comparison.
Yeah. But Charles Barkley was great at rebounding because he was an undersized big. Ira Lee, he is a big. He's a power forward. He's 6'7". Charles Barkley is about 6'6", 6'7". So they have the same height. Ira Lee can't do the things offensively that Charles Barkley can do because, well, Barkley's one of the all-time greats in the NBA. But he needs to have this role where he can come off the bench right away. And if Sean Miller needs a rebounder just to get boards and push the ball up the court, get outlet passes to guys like Brandon Randolph or Brandon Williams, it creates this flow that Arizona's offense can get into a rhythm and almost, I'm not saying become unstoppable, but they get out on runs. We saw that at the beginning of the season. The games that Arizona dominated or air quotes dominate, they went on runs. And by runs, I mean 16-3 runs, 18-2 runs. They have not been on runs over the last few games. And that's all because lack of rebounding. Chase Jeter needs to be that guy as well. He's the tallest guy on the floor for Arizona. He's their only center. If he goes down, they're in trouble. But he needs to find a way to add some more to his game because he's great at scoring the ball in the post. He's got a great touch around the rim, but he needs to start rebounding the ball a lot more. And I totally agree with Bruce. It's the last audition for a lot of these players, guys like Alex Barcelo. I wouldn't say so much Devonir Dutry. I think he got in the game because they were already up kind of big on Montana. I think once conference play comes around, I wouldn't imagine Devonir Dutry getting a lot of playing time. But for Alex Barcelo, a guy that rode the bench throughout the entire conference season last year, there were times against Montana where Sean Miller gave Alex Barcelo the death stare. Alex Barcelo didn't close out on a defender. Sean Miller, and it was right in front of Sean Miller too. Didn't close out on a defender. The dude knocks a three-pointer right in his face. Sean Miller just put his head in his hands, and then he looked up at Alex Barcelo. There was a media timeout, maybe 30 seconds right after that, and he chewed out Alex Barcelo. And then he airballed a shot, or he turned the ball over, he traveled or something like that. And as soon as he was getting back down the court, Sean Miller was just looking at him, just staring at him, giving him the death stare. I was terrified for Alex Barcelo. And Alex Barcelo was a smart guy. When he was substituted out of the game, he didn't even go talk to Sean Miller. He just went straight to the end of the bench. He's
smart,
like, I'm not going to talk to this guy.
Smart man.
But, this UC Davis game, it's the last time that I think you're going to see a lot of these players get some significant playing time. And Dom, you know this. Once Sean Miller has his rotation of seven or eight guys, that's it for the rest of the year.
And the one thing I will say about Devin Arduchery, and Sean Miller has talked up multiple times this year, but it came up again after the Montana game once Devin Arduchery got back in there. He plays defense. He's a gritty guy, and that's Sean Miller's style. And the thing with that, which will usually get you minutes on a Sean Miller team, a lot of people don't realize Arizona's number 23 in defensive efficiency right now per KenPom. And that's pretty good. I mean, that's you can't ask for much more.
It's kind of better than last year. Last year's team was talented.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and we got five new starters. Arizona's five new starters this year. So you can't ask for much more than 23rd in the country in defensive efficiency. And I think the window kind of closes there for Dutree then. But he's a guy moving forward that in years to come can kind of claw his way into more minutes. That's where we're at right now.
Yeah. But since, you know, they're going to finish off their non-conference slate against UC Davis, which I presume that they're going to win. I also thought that they were going to beat Baylor. So, you know, things...
We got the Montana game, right? We thought they'd beat Montana. You can't win them all.
Yeah, but I think Arizona, they're going to take care of UC Davis. And then they got a really tough conference home opener against Colorado, Utah. And then, you know, conference play. As it continues, I don't know what it's going to look like because the Pac-12 is so bad.
So bad.
So bad. Oregon.
You think they've been bad in years past?
Yeah. Oregon, they've been struggling. They lost to Houston and Texas Southern. USC the other night. A lot of people thought that they were going to finish second in the conference. Well,
a lot of people had them winning.
They finished, or they lost to Santa Clara the other night. UCLA has struggled. Arizona's hope right now is that the Pac-12 is bad to where they can actually be competitive in every single game that they play in, and they could actually win if the chips fall in favor of Arizona. But I want to go ahead, Dom.
Well, really quick before we move on, Justin, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and you talked about their shooting and kind of the fact that they haven't been able to get on runs this year, or at least the last few games, they haven't been able to piece together runs. We talked a couple weeks ago, Justin, that this team needs to find an identity, and I know they've been kind of a three-point shooting team. I mean, their numbers sure don't show it, and they haven't been hot as of late, so it's tough to say they're a three-point shooting team. They're averaging, 64 points per game over the last three, in which they're 2-1 with that bad loss to Baylor. Excuse me, 1-2 with that bad loss to Baylor and road loss to Alabama. But that's the problem with this Arizona team, is they don't have an identity. They need to have one thing that they're really good at, which they're going to have to figure out in Pac-12 play, because they didn't do it in non-conference, and that's the time that most teams kind of figure out who they are. And I think that's what non-conference is for. I think conference play, not as much in the Pac-12 because of how bad they are. You figure out what you're really made of, and that's what Arizona is going to kind of have to piece it all together. Mm. I know you want to move on, Justin. What do we got up next? Ira Lee.
Ira Lee.
Ira Lee is sentenced. Will spend one night in Pima County Jail on Sunday night as a result of his DUI charges in August. He had four of them, super extreme DUI and extreme DUI among them. He will only serve one of them, which is one night in jail. Justin, we were talking before we came on air here about how he kind of caught a break of sorts.
Yeah.
He was facing, I had it up here, we were talking earlier, he was facing three nights, correct me if I'm wrong here, three nights in jail and up to 9 days on house arrest. His sentence will be one night in Pima County Jail and 3 days at home with an ankle bracelet. We don't know the parameters of that. I don't want to guess what that means, or, you know, if he can leave his house. But he will be at home with an ankle bracelet in 3 days after his night in jail. I mean, it comes at the perfect time, as our Bruce Pasco said, for Arizona, because they're on a break anyway after Sunday, or after Saturday, rather. So he'll play Saturday and then, you know, be out the next 4 days, and they return to practice on Thursday. So he kind of fits it in the perfect time.
Yeah. I think with Ira Lee, he caught a break, but I don't want to say he caught a break to make it seem like, oh, he got it just like a slap on the wrist.
Right.
He's still spending a night in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about this. I would go crazy if I had to spend at least one night in jail. And then if I'm on house arrest, I can't leave my house. Well, I mean, it sounds like a good plan to me. I mean, I don't mind chilling at home for 3 days, but you can't go anywhere. Like, you're at home for 3 days. The reason why he got this sentencing is because he was cooperative. He did not badmouth the officers. He didn't make the situation more difficult than it needed to be. He was a nice person, a stand-up guy throughout this whole operation. We've seen the video, the police cam, mm-hmm. of him getting pulled over. You could tell he was intoxicated, but at the same time, he was not, like I said, fighting off the officers, saying, oh, you know, you should let me go because I play basketball for the U of A, you know, like the, you know who I am kind of thing. No, I really was humble through it all. And that's why I applaud him. He went out and apologized publicly for what he's done, putting a bad reputation to not only his name, but the University of Arizona basketball team. He's going to do his time, and by time, I literally mean one night in jail.
Like time, like you can count the time he will do.
And it comes at a good time because of Christmas break. I think they wanted to do this around this time to help out, you know, the basketball program and his school. And unfortunately for him, he gets to spend Christmas in Tucson and not in Los Angeles where he's from. But it could be a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I look at, is it could be a lot worse. So I really can do his time, and they're going to move on.
It could be a lot worse. He could have, I mean, he was going 30 down the wrong way of the road. He could have hit someone, you know. It could have been a lot worse in every aspect. And mm-hmm. look, we talked about this when it happened back in August. Ira Lee is, he's a good kid, but he's awesome just that. Guy. He's a kid. He's going through a lot. As Sean Miller said when this all happened, he said that Justin Eber probably at the press conference. What did he say? He said Ira Lee had gone through more in the last week than most people go through in a lifetime. And
yeah.
Obviously lost his grandmother earlier that weekend when he was caught with a DUI. So it's just, you know, chalk it up to bad timing, move on, learn your lesson. He's going to get a lot of thinking that night in jail and at home for 3 days. So, you know, it shouldn't be a problem moving forward. And if it is, they'll take action. But he served his one game suspension with U of A in the season opener against Houston Baptist. So there's not much more to be said or done here after this sentence is served. Mm-hmm. One thing that has plenty of more ramifications down the line is former USC head coach Tony Bland reached a settlement, took a plea deal in the federal investigation into college basketball. He was supposed to go on trial in April with Book Richardson and others, and he will no longer do that. He agreed. I'm looking for it here.
The plea deal is, I don't even think he's going to serve any prison time. Although guys like Bland and mm-hmm. Lamont Evans, and obviously Book Richardson, they were facing up to 60 years in prison, which seems outrageous for what the crimes were. But I think with all these coaches, and you're going to see with Bland, you might see this trend down the line where they take this plea deal where it's pretty much like a slap on the wrist. I don't even think Bland's serving any prison time.
Bland is not serving prison time. He will receive probation without prison time. That's according to the Los Angeles Times, who originally reported this. The interesting part is they levy those 60 years on these people who have committed federal felonies and federal felonies. Is there any other kind of felony? But these federal offenses where, look, they have a lot of information. Tony Bland has a lot of knowledge in his head about what went down in this corruption case, and it may include Book Richardson. It may include others involved that FBI doesn't necessarily have their hands on or they need information on. We don't know what Tony Bland has given out, has provided the FBI in their investigation, and that might be part of this. He's not serving jail time. He will serve his he will pay his fees. The interesting part, the difference with him and Book is the amount they took. Allegedly, Book Richardson took $20,000 to Tony Bland's $13,000. And I don't know what that means in the grand scheme of things, how much that changes things in court. But I guess the bottom line here, what's relevant to our listeners here, at the Wildcast podcast is that if you see Tony Bland take a plea agreement in the same trial that Book Richardson was supposed to be in, Book Richardson, again, this is us speculating, there's no backbone to this, but Book Richardson, you would have to think, is going to take a plea deal. His lawyer would not did not return calls. Craig Murdoch did not return calls to the Arizona Daily Star the other day. But, you know, they're weighing their options as far as we know. I'm trying to see here. Maybe they did, because I know we had a quote from them. He did. Okay. So maybe, I don't know if this is from Bruce or the Times. But Craig Murdoch did say that on Thursday, him and the UA assistant Book Richardson are keeping their options open. They haven't reached a decision. They don't know if they're taking a plea deal. We don't know when that decision's coming. But again, if Tony Bland's taking a deal, you have to think that someone in the same, yep, in the same trial as him would also do the same. And again, when a couple weeks ago, that's what experts are saying, is that Book Richardson is probably going to take a plea deal.
Are they being represented by the same attorneys, or is Book and Tony Bland's attorneys two totally different people? Because I'm thinking, well, if it's under the same umbrella, they could have the same attorneys. And in that case, yeah, Book Richardson is going to fall down the same path as Tony Bland, take a plea deal, tell everybody, okay, this is what happened. Tell everybody exactly what you know under oath. Now, how does that affect the Arizona basketball program? How does that affect Sean Miller? Well, the FBI has to have cold, hard evidence of Sean Miller having any sort of knowledge about any of this stuff. They can't just rely on Book Richardson's word. However, it does make it pretty interesting that if Book were to tell everybody under oath exactly what happened and Arizona basketball falls into this rabbit hole, it's going to be interesting. And I think that's why he's going to take this plea deal, because I'd rather have a year of probation than to face 60 years of prison. That's just me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's like anything you see with these old crime movies with them in the hood. What do you want to do? You want to be a rat? Well, if you're a rat, you're going to be good, but everybody else in the entire hood, they're going to get in trouble. Do you want to get the entire hood in trouble? Well, if you don't, then you're going to be facing the consequences. Book is a smart guy. He's not going to say, you know what? No, I don't want to rat on anybody. No, he's going to tell everybody that's questioning him or prosecuting him, he's going to tell them everything that they need to know. So he is better in the light, and that he will get a deal similar to Tony Bland. And that's why I think he might get a similar deal. He might not even go to trial, and he's going to say, this is what happened, and he's going to get probation time.
We'll have Caitlin Schmidt on our next podcast, Justin,
because yes,
she had some funny things, not funny, she had some crazy perspective on Tony Bland's lawyer, who, by the way, is not the same.
Not the same,
Is not Craig Murdoch. But Tony Bland's lawyer has represented some guys. We'll get Caitlin Schmidt on the next podcast to talk about it.
Down.
One more thing before we move on at the end of the night, Justin. Omar Tielemans transferring from the University of Arizona to Wright State.
Yes.
I have something to say.
All right. Let's hear it.
I was more than disappointed. And again, I don't want to categorize every Wildcats fan into the same category here, but I was very disappointed to see how some Arizona fans responded to Tielemans transferring. I saw a lot of people on social media giving him a hard time, saying, you know,
who's
this guy? Go back to Belgium. Like, what has Omar Tielemans ever done to you? He came in at a time where Arizona had zilch in their recruiting class. Remember, he's one of their first commits. I can't remember his exact order. At the very least, he was one of their first commits to the 2018 class. At a time when they were in turmoil, Brandon Williams had left, Sharif O'Neal had left, they had nobody. You remember how late of a jump Sean Miller got in the class. Granted, they turned out 21st in the country, I think is what they ended up. So they turned out okay. But Tielemans was that first guy to kind of say, hey, I'm coming here. And sure, he didn't play, but it was because his talent level wasn't on par with Chase Jeter and Ryan Luther and the guys who had experience playing at Duke in 4 years at other major universities. Yeah. So, you know, good for Omar Tielemans finding another opportunity at Wright State. Mm. He never did anything to anyone at U of A.
Yes.
I don't know why Arizona fans are mad at him. I don't know why they need to bash him. It's just something to get mad about, I suppose, but.
And those were the same fans that when he committed were probably like, this guy's dripping with potential. He's 6'7". He's from Europe. He's been playing professional basketball over there in Belgium. So he's got experience against older guys. They were stoked about Omar Tielemans. And then he transfers and they were like, oh, who's this guy? Give me a break. I agree with you, Dom. I think it was unwarranted.
Absolutely unwarranted. And look, again, we're not speculating on why he's leaving, but it's probably because of the lack of playing time here. There's none this year. There's certainly not going to be any playing time next year for him. And Sean Miller at the beginning of the year probably had the same conversation with him behind closed doors, but said very blunt in a press conference that Omar Tielemans is a work in progress. He's a project. He's not going to be a guy who comes in from Belgium and starts valuable minutes in the Pac-12 and in college basketball. That it's kind of a different level of physicality than I guess Omar Tielemans was used to seeing. And Sean Miller saw that. Maybe Omar disagrees with Sean. I'm sure he does. Any athlete would. If a coach tells you you're a project, and if there's playing time for him elsewhere, great. You know, follow the minutes. And if he has that at Wright State, I think that's awesome. The one thing I'm sure people have noticed, if you follow Omar Tielemans on social media, he has been attending the University of Arizona this fall semester. He will stay. He told Bruce Pasco that he will stay here through the holiday break. But not
good
much. Not much else on him. Again, we don't know why he's transferring, but it's probably because of the lack of minutes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Good for him.
So we have a few minutes left here, since we won't have a podcast before Christmas. I think it's time to do Christmas movie rankings. Dom, you have five options. If you were to choose the top five Christmas movies you have ever watched, starting with number five, what are you picking?
I'm going to jump straight to number one and tell you what movie puts all other Christmas movies to shame.
Okay.
Anything you have on your list, this one is better.
Okay.
Christmas Vacation, National Lampoon's.
Oh yeah,
it's an absolute classic.
What a gem!
I've heard more people in the newsroom over the last couple of days that have never heard it. And I'm just sitting on my desk typing away, losing my mind. Ryan Finley has seen it, so I was happy with that. He loves it. It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
For years and years, we haven't the last couple, and I'm disappointed that we haven't. But for years, my brother, dad, and I would watch it every Christmas morning after opening presents. It's a great movie. It makes for a fun tradition. Every line is quotable. I could sit here and quote half the movie for you. I won't because I want to hear your list.
Yeah.
But National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation puts everything to shame. Home Alone is another sneaky good one. Is that on your list?
Yep.
Home Alone's a great one too.
Mm. So you got National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and Home Alone.
We can go back to some of the Charlie Brown's Christmas is a classic.
So that's three.
Yeah. I mean, those are the big three.
Did you think of any two? Come on, finish off your list.
Start naming some and I'll tell you what's
all right,
on
my list. I'm going to start off with number five. Okay. I'm going to count down here.
Elf. I love Elf.
Elf.
I'm just going to keep jumping in.
On the list.
I'm going to throw them at you. Okay. Elf's definitely on the list.
Number five. Die Hard.
I thought when I said Home Alone, I was thinking Die Hard. Die Hard.
Number four. I've always enjoyed the Disney classic Christmas movies. So, you know, this is before Bryan Cranston was Walter White on Breaking Bad.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Twas the Night.
Twas the Night. It's a great movie.
Yes.
I love that one.
Yes.
Good call.
Where he's like this kind of like deadbeat uncle who ends up becoming Santa Claus because I think Santa Claus ends up getting killed or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or he beats the hell out of Santa Claus because Santa comes into their apartment.
That is Bryan Cranston. I thought it was Bryan Cranston. Like, who did I think that was? Tim Allen?
So, Twas the Night. Well, that's Santa Claus. And that's actually number
three.
Maybe
that's what I'm thinking about. Santa Claus is a good movie as well.
Santa Claus is number three for me. Elf, number two. And Home Alone, by far my most favorite Christmas movie ever. I can quote every single line from that. Marv and Harry as the Wet Bandits. They're the Wet Bandits in number one. Number two, they're the Sticky Bandits. Those two are awesome together. One of the best duo, one of the best movie duos of all time, in my opinion. And to see all of the booby traps set up in the house. By the way, we still don't know what Peter McAllister does for a living. That's a hell of a house that he has. Those rooms.
They got to make another movie.
And you know what I saw this on Twitter. I forgot whoever tweeted it. But Fuller, his cousin, mm-hmm. who they said at the beginning of the movie when they're all in the kitchen, said, oh, you got to share a bed with Fuller. They told Macaulay Culkin, he's like, hey, you gotta share a room. Or is it Kevin? Yeah, Kevin McAllister. They tell Kevin, you got to share a room. Oh, you got to share a bed with Fuller. And he says, no, I don't want to share a room with Fuller. He wets the bed. And then he looks over at Fuller as they're eating pizza, and he's just chugging a Pepsi. And he looks at him and, like, gives him the eyebrows. And I'm like, this kid purposely pees the bed, and he actually enjoys it. Like, what kind of sick monster is this? But Home Alone, great movie. Number one for me.
Have you seen – you bring up Kevin McAllister in Home Alone. Have you seen the Google Play commercial?
Oh,
with Kevin McAllister,
yes.
It was classic. It was a classic. Kevin Durant made an appearance. A cutout cardboard of cardboard
Instead
cutout
of
rather, yeah, of Kevin Durant. It was absolutely. I mean, it was a great commercial. Great movie, Home Alone. That's got to be on my list. That Christmas Vacation, Elf, Santa Claus is probably on there. Is that the name of the movie with Tim Allen? Is Santa Claus? Wasn't there a second one as well? Santa Claus 2
and a third one.
Really? I got to stop making those. And what was the other one? Twas the Night, also a great movie.
Bryan Cranston. Pretty well
thrown. I thought that was Tim Allen, but maybe I'm just thinking of I know the movie. I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, is there another Tim Allen movie where he has to dress up as Santa Claus?
No, I think it's just Santa Claus.
Yeah, I don't know why. Just in multiple Santa Claus movies.
Also, one that didn't make the list, I kind of put as honorable mention, is the A Christmas Present.
Who's in it?
Or it's the movie.
I know what you're talking about.
I don't know what exactly it is. It's a movie where there's these teenage girls, and they take this machine and they put it on their windowsill, and they live in Southern California, and the machine makes it snow outside. So they had a white Christmas in Southern California, which is a big deal, but apparently they took it from a guy that lived in the woods down the street who just happened to be Santa Claus. So that was the one. I don't know why I'm blinking on the name right now, but I mean, it's a very popular movie, and The Ultimate Christmas Present. That's
the
what
ultimate,
it is.
The Ultimate Christmas Present. Not out, just a Christmas present. The ultimate.
Came out in 2000. But
interesting. Grinch is also a classic. You can't have a
cartoon
Christmas
or
movie Grinch.
Was it Michael Myers?
Yes, both of them. Was it Michael Myers?
I was thinking that line.
Is that your Grinch impression?
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. We would just like to wish everybody a happy holidays. Enjoy your time off. Enjoy your break with some family. Make sure you eat some good food and be around your loved ones. And as always, you can download the Wildcaster app available on the App Store and Google Play. And you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. For Dom, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.
And the Grinch.
Hi, Wildcaster fans. Come check out The Point Being, the Arizona Daily Star's opinion page podcast. We talk about current events, what's going on in the world, the letters page, and more. So check us out at thepointbeingpodcast.com.